views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
The following audio is via a Skype call.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Wow, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tuning us in and turning us on. We got a great show lined up for you today. Yes, Stones of the Goddess with very special guest featuring Nicholas Pearson on the show today. We're going to tell you all about Nicholas, but we're most importantly, we're going to tell you about this fabulous new book that he's written. Really something I'm really kind of lining up with. I got a lot of questions for him. But before we do that, Mr. Benny.
Hi, Pat.
How you be?
Doing very well. And yourself?
I don't know. What do you think of all this snow, man?
It's not that bad. It's not that bad. Yeah. It's going away.
It's going away.
It's warming up.
It's warming up.
It's just leaving us to let us wonder how spring is just so close and yet maybe still far away.
Yeah. We had 2 inches in Bothell.
Dang.
I know.
That's a lot.
That is a lot.
I'm impressed.
That's what I'm just saying. That's like, I think where I am, I'm like right on the edge. I'm not like above like the main street in Bothell.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we kind of, you know, we're on that threshold.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Vortex. We're on the vortex.
I like it.
Well, let me tell everybody about Nicholas joining us here today. I'm really glad to have him back. You know, he is, first of all, somebody that says, look, I have a calling. I have a fascination, and his fascination is in the mineral kingdom. And what I mean by that is, you've heard me talk about it, you know, crystals, stones. But what I love about what he's done, and I think Nicholas is like an old soul, because when I think about everything he's done and what he's done in his training, you know, to teach us about crystals and Reiki and healing, I think about very, very ancient ways of healing the body, healing the mind, healing the soul. And I'm very struck by how back then, thousands of years, stones were thought of, they were revered, not just because of their beauty. And, you know, some of you are thinking not all stones are beautiful, but there's an energy, there's an illumination. And if we look at where we are now in our world, being bombarded with electromagnetic energy, what you find is that there are ways, and we'll talk about them today, ways that we can not just protect ourselves from whatever we think we need to do, but more importantly, how we can fully step out. Now, goddess energy, the goddess. Why is this an energy for many of you for this year, unlike ever? And what is that relationship between that goddess energy and crystals? That's what today's about. Nicholas, I'm excited about this today.
Me too. This book, I think, is the one I'm proudest of yet, and it's just such a pleasure and a privilege to be able to share it with you today on air.
I want to ask you this. What goddesses guided you in writing the book? Now, I know that you were guided in writing the book, of course, right? And we're talking about goddess-centered spirituality, in many, many ways. But to write a book like this and to demonstrate the power of crystals, stones, goddesses together, there had to be some guidance. Tell us, who did it?
Well, you know, I'd like to think there must have been a really talented team that was up there guiding all of this. I would have to say that one of the biggest inspirations for me was not necessarily an ancient goddess or trio of goddesses, but this idea of the triple goddess manifesting through the three phases of the rock cycle. So, you know, I talk about them and my sort of created relationship with them, you know, maiden, mother, and crone as the igneous, metamorphic, and sedimentary phases of, you know, rock formation. In the book. And so there were three energies that I worked with quite a lot. But there were plenty of others. You know, I did a lot of work with Babylon as sort of an Enochian or Thelemic figure who represents sort of primal energy of unbridled, wild, untamed goddess. And we kind of need that energy to shake things up in the world today. Inanna or Ishtar is closely associated with her, and lapis lazuli happens to be one of my favorite stones, and so that is a stone sacred to these goddesses. So, you know, these are just a handful of the many figures that I think really inspired and guided this project.
And I love what you've done too in the book, is that, you know, I'm looking at this and I'm looking at how you're capturing the divine feminine in the conversation right out of the gate. You really really paying honor for us to meet the goddess. And I want to talk about this for a minute in the book. First of all, you know, what you do about crystals and reminding us that, you know, when we're looking at crystals and we're looking at the basics and what should be in our toolkit, there are many things that we may or may not know. I want to ask you, what is the revelation between last books you may have written and this book in terms of what you've included in the toolbox?
You know, I really wanted to start with a good primer on how and why crystals work from like a, you know, bigger picture kind of perspective than I did in some of my other books. So we kind of start with those five essential crystal functions and use those as a means of understanding the mechanism that crystals use to enhance our lives. So I got to bring in a little bit more mineral science and a little bit more material science in that part. Even though this is a very, you know, mystical, magical kind of book, I wanted it to be very grounded. And those five essential crystal functions are something that I've been kind of distilling over the years. There's so many different things that crystal structures are responsible for in the universe. And so these five are like the quintessential ones that explain how we forge a deeper relationship with the mineral kingdom. And they also can be good metaphors for the catalyst between, you know, taking the mineral kingdom to the next level as far as the relationship goes, whether that's applying it to the divine feminine, like in this book, or just applying it to, you know, a therapeutic or more clinical practice of crystal healing or gem therapy.
Yeah. One of the things that I love about this is, as I went through the book, and I'm hoping today where we can, let me just do it. I would like to open up the phone lines for all of you out there. And the reason I like to do it is because what I discovered, you know, in a very long journey trying to understand crystals, is that we can call upon these gemstones and stones, right? Especially for different things going on in our life. And the five essential functions that you just talked about, I have found to be brilliant to really help us determine, what do I need to get done here? What kind of support do I need? And what can I call on to get that done? So if you're in the middle of a conflict and you're not able to see the light at the end of the tunnel, there may be a harmonizer, or maybe you're at some place where there's something that is very unclear to you. And so what you've done is you put these functions together. What I think is brilliant about this is you've combined these with the goddess energy. And that's really very cool. Can you talk about in the book, this one of the things in the book that I zoomed in on, is you put a table in the, I think it's in the appendix, and you put the table in the appendix. And what you did is you call this tables of correspondences. Tell us what that means. I loved what you did in putting that table in here, by the way.
Well, thank you. You know, the whole book actually started with the prototype of this list of correspondences. So, you know, the idea for the book started out as you know, one of those annoying little thoughts that won't leave you alone. You're in the middle of other projects and you don't have time to pay attention, and yet it stays there and the voice gets louder and louder and louder. And finally I realized maybe I should write some of this stuff down. The tables of correspondences start with goddess correspondences. And in a lot of magical practices, we use the word correspondence taken from the Hermetic principles of correspondence, you know, as above, so below, mm-hmm. as below, so above. And it tells us that there is sort of an energetic or vibrational signature that links, you know, one part of creation to the next. Some things are symbolically or metaphorically linked to the element of fire. So even without physical flame, we can connect to the energy of fire. There are gemstones that have a decidedly Venusian energy, and without having to be transported to the planet Venus or wait for an auspicious aspect of Venus astrologically, we can use one of those gemstones to harness Venus energy. So I started with goddess-related correspondences, and you know, the bulk of the index is devoted to this table, and it's got you know, an alphabetical listing of various goddesses from around the world, you know, one or two words about their country or culture of origin, and then just a teeny blurb about what they might represent. And it's so hard to reduce some of these figures to a handful of words because they're so complex. It just kind of gives you an idea of some of the themes in your life they might help with, or some of the archetypal roles they've played. And then you can, you know, dig deeper and find your own connections there. And then there are gemstones that correspond with them. And some of these correspondences come from traditional myth and history. Others are going to be the result of, you know, my personal relationship with the stones. A lot of them are found by, you know, hitting the library, finding, you know, other people's connections and citing those. But I really wanted this to be a very functional list to take us deep with our practice.
I love it. For those of you out there, do you want to know what stone, what goddess, what you can bring into your life, what you can call? This is really for many of us. You know, we look at this, and if you come to my home studio right now, you'd see crystals everywhere. But in addition to crystals, you'd see stones, like real stones, like rocks, like from outdoors. And what's fascinating is that my attraction to the geological aspect of the planet is really, I can't really describe what it is. But the thing that I think you're going to help us understand is how these relationships can help us solve the problems in our lives or create more of what we want. We're taking your calls, 1-800-930-2819. When we come back, and talk about a couple of goddesses and what they bring forward. You know, why is it if you come in my doorway to my home, the first thing you see is a giant picture of Athena, but a representation that's very, very, very different. As a matter of fact, I'll take a picture of it and post it on social media later. But what is it about that goddess that I've been attracted to? But then directly across from her, Eagle Woman, very different energies. I'm going to leave all of that up to Nicholas when we come back, and we're going to tell you how to get a copy of the book, Stones of the Goddess. Let's take a short break, Benny. We'll be right back.
Have you been searching for a push to step out and share your gifts with the world? Allow Charlene Hess to empower you to start shedding the layers of your ego that are holding you back and begin feeling connected to your heart so that you can shine your unique divine light and share your gifts with the world. Tune in to The Charlene Hess Show, Living on Your Heart's Edge, every third Friday at noon Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit CharleneHess.com.
To see your life from an angel's perspective, book a personal consultation with Claire Candy Huff, angelic walk-in angel Ariel at Angel Healing House. Candy provides intuitive counseling, Reiki, and angel readings in person in Los Angeles or nationally and internationally via phone or Skype. She will channel the practical tools you need to transform your life. Call now, 831-277-3716 or visit angelhealinghouse.com.
Are you ready to branch out? Take a leap of faith. Then tune in to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills on TransformationTalkRadio.com every second and fourth Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific to equip, empower, and enlighten yourself. Erica will energize and excite you to power up your passionate dream that sets your soul on fire. So get fearlessly ready and get powerfully rooted in your yes to live it up, love it up, and let it go to ignite the life you deserve. Visit GetRootedRadio.com and tune in.
Are you looking for the perfect setting for your next workshop or retreat? At Spirit Fire Meditative Retreat Center, cultivating consciousness is what we do best. Our guests count on us to create an atmosphere that supports serenity and well-being. We lead from the heart and create space for the mind. Freshly prepared meals designed with local and organic ingredients, 95 acres of beautiful woods and pastures, and a facility built with green in mind. This is what you'll find at Spirit Fire. For more information, visit SpiritFireRetreatCenter.com. To find answers to life's questions, you need to look within yourself. Dr. Glenna Rice brings your questionable conversations on Transformation Talk Radio each month. Tune in each month for insight into how you can live up to your full potential. Dr. Glenna is a physical therapist, certified Access Consciousness, and Access Body Class Facilitator. How does it get any better than this? For more information on Dr. Glenna Rice and her work, visit GlennaRice.com.
Oh, boy, that's what I'm talking about, kicking it up. That's what I love right here with Mr. Benny and with me. I'm Dr. Pat. Thank you for tuning us in, turning us on. If you want to find out more about us, go to thedrpatshow.com. Pretty soon, yep, we're going to be popping it out for you. It is, we have our podcast, of course, at Transformation Talk Radio. You can look at them all. But in about a month, you'll see our new podcast network. It's called iTalk Radio. And so, yeah, that's it. We're going to be bringing you close to 6,000 podcasts, all categorized and featured the way that you love. You're going to be hearing from some folks that have been out there for a really long time. And we have also opened up a campaign to pick up podcasts from people all over the world. Somebody asked me the other day, how can you do that? Well, it's the technology, and got a great team of people, you know, but sometimes it's more than that. Just like Nicholas was talking about, sometimes that is a calling to what you do. And that's why he's here today. We're talking about his latest project, his latest book, Stones of the Goddess. And you know what that's about is it's a practical guide to both working with gemstones and crystals, but, and they're connected to goddess energy, right? For magic healing and transformation. So we're going to look at, we can't get through all 100 of these gemstones, but we can talk about the rise of the divine feminine. You know, we can talk about what that energy is about. And when you look at that energy, you may be faced with challenges as you step into it. How can goddess wisdom and exquisite crystals help with that? And I think that's the first place I kind of want to go, is to talk about how what you've done and how you've done it, how it can help us along the way, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've been a big proponent of turning to the mineral kingdom for assistance for a long time now. But the whole piece of connecting to the divine feminine just was kind of a natural outgrowth of that. We, in virtually every culture around the world at some point in history, have looked at the earth as the archetype of mother. You know, we have Gaia, we have Rhea, we have Kalati Kwe, we have so many different earth goddesses that kind of conceptualize all of Mother Nature. And that includes not just the living stuff, the world of green, the cute little forest creatures, and the flying birds and the fishes, but also the abiotic factors, things like rock and stone and air, and clouds and lightning. And so when we connect to the mineral kingdom, when we hold our favorite gemstone, when we, you know, sweep up some sand, we're holding part and parcel of the body of the Great Mother. If the whole planet is the embodiment, the manifestation of this energy of the divine feminine, then, you know, it's kind of like a hologram. Every tiny little piece of that is going to contain the pattern of the whole. So when we connect to the mineral kingdom, we're naturally linked to, you know, the Great Mother. Even in modern science, there are some really scientific terms that owe their origin to kind of symbols of the Divine Mother. We talk about the matrix in which minerals grow. Matrix is the Latin word for womb. So, you know, there's a very mother-centric energy. Even our word for matter, you know, things that have substance. That word is ultimately derived from the Latin mater, meaning mother. So, you know, the mother is omnipresent. We can't really divorce ourselves from that. We can subvert, we can break it down, we can hide it, we can, you know, put it behind the scenes, we can subjugate the idea of the divine feminine, but she's been there all along, whether or not we have honored her appropriately. And so my hope was that we could kind of bring her back into the fold through the mineral kingdom and provide some really practical ways to change our lives by honoring the divine feminine. And hopefully, you know, if we change our inner world, we start to change the outer world too. My hope is by me offering my little act of devotion to the Great Mother, maybe that'll inspire other people to do that as well. And ultimately, that's going to have ripples in the world.
Yeah, one of the things I want to ask you about is what I said before the break. If you enter my walkway into my house, if you enter, the first thing you see on the wall is this giant poster framed picture of Athena. And it's a Susan Boulay version of her, which means it's pretty abstract. And out of her head probably is the head of Medusa. But, you know, it's a powerful, powerful image, right, at many, many levels. Let's talk a little bit about what happens when we, both men and women, are attracted to a certain goddess energy. You know, what does it bring in? And let's talk about a couple of the more well-known goddesses and their relationship to gemstone. Let's start with Athena, because I don't want to suffer the consequences if I don't start with her. Yeah,
of course. You know, I'll preface this by saying I'm no great scholar of the classical mythologies. So my relationship is, you know, based on observations I've had in my own life, not necessarily by referring to the classic literature. But, you know, for me, Athena is sort of a kinder and friendlier face who represents that fierce role the goddess can take as protector, as warrioress, as, you know, the master strategist. But she's also patron to the arts and the sciences. In her, we have kind of an interesting subversion of your usual creation myth, where she was born out of a headache that Zeus had. So, you know, in this particular role, the male gives birth to the female. And I think one of the gifts that Athena gives us is the breaking apart of paradigms. You know, she kind of allows us to break free of mold, and really is brilliant at doing that. You know, if I were connecting to her through the mineral kingdom, I might do something like fluorite, which has that idea of wisdom, of the intellect, of the arts. There are some classical amulets that have been found that use symbols of Athena carved on garnet, so that might be another stone that you'd use to connect to her. Traditionally, jasper, chalcedony, and agate, even blue sapphire are all sacred to her. But, you know, ultimately, I think we'll find that when we develop a relationship with a specific goddess, you know, she might request different kinds of offerings or different tools to connect to her than what we find, you know, in the textbooks, so to speak.
Yeah. I mean, part of this is really getting into alignment. And what I mean by that is really seeing what you resonate with. You know, in the book, there are a couple things that you point to. One of them I want to talk about is what I think you reference, and please correct me if I don't get this exactly right, the energetic signature of stones. And I want to talk about that because I think you go back to Paleolithic. I mean, you go way back in talking about this. Tell us what energetic signatures of stones, what are they? And do we intuitively have a sense of them? Can you talk about a couple of these, please? Yeah, I love what you say about this too, right?
Yeah. So, you know, this kind of relates to that idea of correspondences, where we have those signatures that are kind of hidden within one idea or one expression of creation that relate to others. So in the book, we mostly talk about the energetic signatures through the lens of the elements and astrology, both planetary and the zodiac signs. And the idea of these signatures is they derive from some level of symbolism in the stone. Maybe it is a fiery color like amber or garnet or citrine that inspires us to feel the warmth of the stone and therefore connect it to that that fiery element. We might also see something based on the formative process. You look at something like obsidian, which is formed by volcanic activity. Naturally, it's going to have that sort of fiery energy to it. But we might also see something a little bit different, the texture of something, the color, the composition, the crystal structure, and they might remind us of part of the body or an experience we have in life. And it creates these sort of tethers, these links to the energy of the stone. So some of this is a result of, you know, the crystal's own formative processes, and some of it is a result of human interaction with stone. And I think there will always be sort of an intuitive level. Jade is a great example. So nephrite jade has long been used for vitality and youthfulness and beauty, to prevent the aging process. And long before humankind had the ability to slice it thin and look at it under a standing electron microscope or use things like polarized filters to see its crystal structure, they were using it for this. But if we do use those modern tools, we see that the sort of fibrous, felted, and woven texture of jade resembles collagen tissue. It resembles the fibers that make us look youthful in the first place. So there's that level of symbolism there that people are connecting to intuitively without the scientific corroboration for millennia.
You know, personal experiences around our use of gemstones and our relationship with divinity or our relationship with the divine, whatever that is. Some people study for years. I know that that's been your path. Others of us have some basic information and knowledge, but we don't really have a sense of expertise. Where does intuition come in? And when I think back, you know, when you go as far back as you went in the book, I have to think that what those folks were doing was pure intuition until they figured it out.
You know, I think intuition is something that is our natural inborn state, and we kind of are programmed not to rely upon it. Intuition gives us the opportunity to temper reason and, you know, other external sources of information with a sense of inner knowing. When it comes to the mineral kingdom, ultimately, we might read something in a book that sounds great, but we might have a different experience if we tune into the energy of a crystal.
Yeah.
And that's why we can read, you know, hundreds of different crystal books that might say all slightly different things, or maybe greatly different things about the same stone, because people have sat down with their individual specimens in their personal collections and cultivated a personal relationship. And so, you know, a lot of these books are transcribed as a result of those kinds of experiences. And it's very intuitively derived. That, you know, doesn't mean that I will sit down and have the same experience. If I pick up my favorite garnet in my collection and I see what it has to say with me, I probably won't get the same thing I find in the Book of Stone, the Crystal Bible, because I have a different set of baggage than those authors do.
Yeah.
I have a different place in life, and then I'm also working with a different specimen, a different example of the same stone, and that's going to, you know, influence our relationship and therefore the end result of our work together.
I love it. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, I've got to put Nicholas on a hub, put him on right on a hot seat. What is your favorite stone? And is it okay to have a favorite, or should we branch out a little bit? Should we be a little bit more mindful? 1-800-930-2819. If you are out there and you want to get some clarity, you want to know what stone should I be using, which goddess should I be talking with, which, what, how, where, when, that's why Nicholas Pearson's in the house. We'll be right back, everybody.
Thank you.
Golden Otter Divinations Radio, where the metaphysical meets the mainstream with Autumn Seibel. Tune in the first Friday every month at 9 a.m. Pacific as Autumn, educator, health coach, and medium, explores metaphysical and mainstream strategies on how to elevate your level of conscious living. Draw in the abundance that is yours by divine right. For more information about working with Autumn, visit goldenotter.us. That's golden like the precious metal and otter like the precious animal.us.
Join the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each month as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia Stephanie is a spiritual teacher, passionate speaker, published author, and founder of the Empower Network. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. For more information, go to corneliastephanie.com.
Learn to live in the light and unveil the authentic you with A Time of Healing Radio with me, Felice Diana, on transformationtalkradio.com. Tune in every third Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific as I help listeners understand sacred fusion energy and how to connect to the spirit that fuels the very life we live. Explore the journey of spiritual transcendence and ultimately discover the path to peace, love, purpose, and wholeness. For more information, visit atimeofhealing.com.
People often ask, what does it mean to thrive? On Thrive by Gen Radio, it means body confidence, mind fulfillment, and soul synchronicity. Create synchronicity with God and learn as Jen shares action steps and real stories that will inspire you to be unstoppable in fulfilling your purpose. Tune in live each Monday at 8 a.m. Pacific on transformationtalkradio.com and visit jenniferzellup.com to thrive with Jen.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a break-free parenting tip. If you haven't been practicing active listening or not getting into some bad habits, it's a good idea to go back to the basics and remind yourself how to be a good listener. Here's an idea that might help. When your child comes to you with a story about her day, set aside whatever you're doing and give her your full attention. If you're in the middle of something that can't be put aside, tell her that you really want to be able to give her story your full attention and ask if you could continue the conversation at a specific time. So for example, this sounds like an important story and I'd really like to give it my full attention. Can we talk about it in 10 minutes when supper's in the oven? Active listening might sound like common sense, but often it's these simple skills that get buried in our parenting pack and easily forgotten or overlooked. Challenge yourself to practice this skill for a full week and see if you notice a difference in how much your child is sharing.
For information and to work with Debbie, visit empoweringnrg.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Yeah. I love it. Thank you for tuning us in and turning us on. Wow, we're talking about, for those of you out there, if you didn't hear it, Nicholas Pearson's in the house. And by the way, we're talking about his latest book, which takes you through, you know, a little bit about the basics, but then it also talks about the changing face of the goddess. And then, you know, when you look at the body of work that went into putting this book together, and you're looking about crystals, minerals, rock, stone, gemstones, when you're looking at all of them together and their relationship to their functionality, then you think, well, maybe that's all that we should talk about. But no, did you know that these stones were related to the goddess energy, to the things that we now see? And it's in our headlines. It's everywhere. There is a movement happening around this goddess energy. And that movement around this goddess energy has so very, very much to do with the changing landscape of our times. Men, women, it doesn't matter. This is an energy that every one of us can embrace. Nicholas, take a moment. How can people get a copy of the book and how can they find out more about you?
You know, the book's available everywhere books are sold. So, you know, visit your local independent bookstore. Let's keep those guys in business. You can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Visit my publisher's website, innertraditions.com. You can order straight from there. If you'd like to get in touch with me, I've got a pretty active presence on social media. You can find me under the handle The Luminous Pearl on Instagram and Facebook. And I've also got a website, www.theluminouspearl.com. And there's a contact form, which will go straight to my email. It'll ding on my phone, and I'll be reaching out as soon as I can.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And for those of you out there, we do have a copy of the book to give away. 1-800-930-2819. Just say hello to Mr. Benny. 1-800-930-2819. Let's talk about some of your favorites. Now, I did mention that you did reveal in the book that there was a you didn't say it was your favorite, but you said it was your favorite for a particular thing. And let's talk about this for a minute. You know, is it okay for us to have favorites? And what does that mean when we say I have a favorite?
Well, you know, I think it's just like having preferences anywhere else in life. When it comes to the mineral kingdom, there are going to be certain energies that feel more comfortable, that feel more empowering, that help us feel the most centered and prepared to go out to the world. But if we limit ourselves only to that stone, then, you know, sometimes we don't experience the beauty and the variety that the mineral kingdom has to offer. So I say, go ahead and have your favorite, but go out there, find your least favorite stone and work with that one too. It'll probably teach you a lot.
What's your favorite?
Well, you know, my absolute favorite mineral in the world is called Petersite, or the Tempest Stone, and there's just something so seductive about its patterns, its colors, its swirls. It's got a very stormy kind of energy to it that's always been, you know, real nourishing to my soul. But, you know, like anyone, it's hard to have a favorite out of all of your children, so really they're all my favorites, especially if they're in earshot. But, you know, in the book, there were several that were really prominent in my work. One of the first pictures we took was the picture of Black Moonstone, which is my favorite for connecting to the goddess Hecate. And she rules over, you know, lunar energies, over the mysteries, the transformational experiences of magic and witchcraft itself. So, you know, to really get in touch with those sort of secretive mysteries, I used Black Moonstone to kind of initiate some of the early stages of what would become the book.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I did want to talk to you about is this relationship to the gemstones and goddesses. You know, how have you lined these up? And really what we're talking about is goddess-centered stones and crystals, right? And what we mean by that is we're talking about a certain energy, an energy for healing and an energy for transformation. I want to talk about, I think last year there was a big conversation about that being the year of healing. It's a lot of conversation. This year, it's really clear to me that this is the year of mega change and transformation, not just in the outer world, but in the inner world, right? And we saw that. We saw that in our government so far, right? We're starting to see it in individuals and, you know, what people are bringing to the forefront. You know, how folks are stepping out into the world. What is it that we could look at from the book where we're looking at if transformation is in our radar, is on our pathway, who do I want to make sure I'm talking with and what stones do I want to put in my house?
You know, I think if the theme is transformation, then anything that falls under the heading of a tertiary process or a metamorphic process is going to be a really great stone to work with. So these are the rocks and minerals that are actually formed as evolutions, in a way, of other rocks and minerals. We take igneous or sedimentary rocks, we subject them to some combination of heat and or pressure, and we get something new that's born from that. A really great example is lapis lazuli or jade. These are both metamorphic rocks in their own right. And because they have undergone such extremes of environment, you know, lapis started as sediments on the bottom of the primordial sea and is now found at the rooftop of the world in some of the highest mountain ranges on Earth. It's gone through enormous shifts, and therefore it can walk through our own changes with us and lead us towards whatever our next step is going to be. And it just so happens that a lot of these real transformational kind of stones have a deep connection to you know, the role of the divine feminine. Lapis has been associated with goddesses and other divine feminine figures since, you know, the beginning of time.
Wow. Something interesting happened. It's funny you mentioned this. Something interesting happened to me this week. And very unusual for me. I mean, you know, I'm very grateful for some of the jewelry that I have that I've been given, really sacred pieces, right? But I noticed on Monday and Tuesday, very rare for me to go in and pick out two pieces of jewelry, both of them jade. One is a polished jade that came from Japan. Another one is more a rough stone version of it. And it was so unusual that Linda even made a comment about it. What is it with jade energy? Why would I be intuitively drawn to that?
Jade is one of those all-purpose stones. It's been revered virtually everywhere on Earth it's ever been found. You know, it's a stone of peace, of abundance, of dream work. It supports things like astral travel and longevity, beauty, protection. It helps us connect with the spiritual realms that are out there. It's formed by those metamorphic processes. There are actually two different jades. There's jadeite and nephrite. And, you know, we see it linked to goddesses like, you know, the goddess of truth and justice in ancient Egypt, Maat. It's sacred to Guan Yin or Kanon or, you know, Avalokiteshvara. Bodhisattva of compassion, who is often depicted in a very motherly fashion. If we go to the Americas, there are actually a whole number of deities whose names are derived from the indigenous words for jade. A real famous one is Chao Chi Wheat Li Kui, whose name means something along the lines of she who's wearing a skirt of jade. She's a goddess of water, of lakes, of rivers. Jade is so deeply connected to the imagery of the natural world, and it can be very grounding. Without weighing us down, it helps us learn to live within the rhythms and tides of life. It's also connected to love and beauty. It really can help us refine ourselves, refine our connection to the world, refine our path. And part of it is because of that metamorphic activity that forms it. And part of it is because it takes such a fine polish, although it takes forever to carve, especially with pre-modern tools. As we carve that jade, literally or metaphorically, we're also carving ourselves. As we polish that stone, we're polishing our own heart.
You know, one of the things that I love is looking at absolutely what I don't know. And part of that is when I look at what I don't know, I'm always fascinated by it. What would you say? Probably going to put you on the spot. We'll do this when we come back from break. But what would you say is the goddess and the gemstone for 2019? Let's take a short break. That is really putting you on the spot, boy. Goddess and gemstone for 2019. Let's take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back with Nicholas.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me.
Hi, I'm Laura Meeks, and the most common problem that my clients face is all work and no play. This is why I created Fly High Living. I help you develop a balanced life plan and guide you to a place where you love to wake up in the morning.
Call 888-666-1570 or go to flyhighliving.com to sign up for the 4-week Flight Plan for Life course.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety, and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you're ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com. That's thefearandanxietysolution.com or call 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-MIND.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
Interested in deepening your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit www.esotericstudies.net.
Tune in to The Astral Insider, your portal for adventure, insight, and growth with Fernando Albert. And get ready to tour the astral realm, expand your life in ways you've never imagined, and call in for the journey of your life with this world-renowned lucid dreamer, astral projectionist, psychic medium, and healer, Fernando Albert. This is every second and fourth Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Olivia Newton-John, right, Benny?
You got it. Pearls of Change.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, pardon me.
That's what
me.
I'm talking
pearls,
about.
Pardon me. Pearls on a Chain. I'm sorry.
Pearls. They're very nice, Benny.
Yeah,
thank
beautiful.
You for doing that.
Sure.
Talk about changing. Wow. You know, that her music and what she has come out with in the past decade is very, very different, and it's amazing. You know, we are talking about 2019 and what is the energy that you resonate with. Nicholas, one more time, how can folks get a hold of you? Why don't you make sure that we have your website and really could find out how to get a copy of the book?
Yeah, so my website is www.theluminouspearl.com. So you're welcome to reach out that way. The book is available everywhere books are sold. So, you know, visit your local independent bookstore. You can visit BarnesandNoble.com, InnerTraditions.com, or anywhere else that carries fine books.
Look, I know I put you on the spot a couple times, but, you know, when you talk to people about 2019, you get sort of a great dissection of energy. First of all, Jupiter has come home to Sagittarius, will be here for the next, for the entire year, and then move on. But, you know, these two energies, when they come together, they're mega in so many ways, right? Then we're talking about a different energy, you know, the feminine, the divine feminine coming through in 2019. We're starting to see it across the globe, and we can go on. But I must ask, you know, is there a way for us to also relate the energy of 2019, you know, to a goddess or a range of goddesses and then their associated gemstones?
It's hard to play favorites with a question like this, but I think if I were going to pick one goddess-centered stone with a whole, you know, really rich tapestry of symbolism, I might choose emerald to represent this year. You know, emerald on one level has that sort of Saturnian idea of stripping things down, cutting things back until we get to nothing but the truth. In Vedic astrology, it's the energy of Mercury, so it's going to be about making connections, moving, communicating our ideas. You know, it's the messenger. But if we want to look at it through that lens, the divine feminine in many parts of the ancient world is astrologically associated with Venus. And Venus is the embodiment of not just the goddess of love, but, you know, the primal mother. And if we look at the mythology of emerald in cultures around the world. That idea of the supernal mother, the one who gives birth to us all, is deeply connected to emerald. Emerald is also a stone that we associate with the heart center, with love. And I think one of the messages we all need to focus on is that love is not just this, you know, fluffy, feel-good, crystals and sunshine and rainbows kind of energy. Love is radical. And when we connect to the most primal face of a goddess who embodies love, who engenders love in all that she touches, she reminds us that when we love, we transform the world, we transform ourselves, we transform one another. And a stone like emerald exalts the heart. It lifts it to its highest place by allowing it to rest safely within the heart of the Great Mother herself.
Mm. You know, what's on the horizon for you? I mean, I know that you're a prolific writer. I know that this is part of your journey, you know, to educate us about the possibilities of using some of these things that you've discovered and help others use. You know, what is most important for you as you look ahead at this year?
You know, this year I'm going to be doing a lot more touring. I have a lot more opportunity to connect with my community of readers. So I'm really excited about the idea of not just bringing this book, but bringing my teachings at large to the world. So, you know, I'll be practicing some good self-care while I'm on the road. I'm really excited to be visiting the Northeast a few times and be heading out west to Colorado. I'll be going overseas for my very first trip abroad. I'm doing a retreat that still has a couple spaces left at Glastonbury called Healing the Heart of the Mother. We're going to be connecting to the divine feminine through not only the mineral kingdom, but also the plant kingdom. So if anyone's interested in that, you can check out chalicetime.com to read more about that particular event.
Wow. Nicholas, thank you. Hey, we have a few minutes left, and there are lots of things you have included in your book, and I'm sure that we did not cover them all. Give us perhaps a perspective on something we didn't talk about that not only is going to be important for us to embrace and embody, but maybe perhaps for us to explore more in terms of what you've included in the book.
You know, one of the things that was really important to me in this book was including new stones that maybe don't have an ancient precedent of being connected to any figure, whether they're a goddess or not. So we're finding things like Curacao quartz, the Lemurian seed crystals, especially a variety that's called the Scarlet Temple or the Strawberry Lemurian seed crystal. And these new stones that are emerging kind of represent the new and emerging face of the goddess. As we evolve, so does the cosmos and vice versa. You know, if we have that principle, as above, so below, and as we experience changes in the mineral kingdom, you know, through what we're discovering in mind, and we're also going to be experiencing changes in our lives in the greater picture. So I'm really excited about the premise of getting to know these new goddess-centered stones more deeply. And there are tons of them. There are plenty in this book that haven't appeared in other books, or at least haven't appeared in very many at all. The Veil of Isis crystals, which are sometimes called the Luminous Lemurian, Yamingju, a naturally luminous kind of stone, which is one of my favorites to work with, very, very transformational energy. The Romanian smoky quartz from Cosmic. These are stones that are here to offer us a new initiation into the mysteries that are ripe for the present day.
Wow. Nicholas, thank you so very, very much. Thank you for all you do. Last question, personal message. What would you like to leave us with?
I think we'll go back to the theme of emeralds, and let's love one another and ourselves radically. Let's allow that love to transform the world.
Awesome. Hey, everybody, I'm Dr. Pat, Nicholas Pearson, Mr. Benny. We are not going anywhere because Sue Storm, the Angel Lady, is coming in the house. Get ready, everybody. We'll be right back.
preceding audio was via a Skype call.